Go ahead and be turning to your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. This morning I want to pick up where I left off on Thursday night, talking about eternity. And the question still is, are you ready for your eternity? You say, Richard, that's all you talk about. Well, what else is there? You don't get it, do you? That it's all about eternity. It's all about getting to heaven someday. Everything else in this world is temporary. Are you listening to me? This is what gets me out of bed in the morning. This is why I get fired up. That one day, we get to spend eternity with God. Am I talking to anybody in here? You guys got an extra hour of sleep. Okay? I did too. We got to give it back in a few months. But we got to enjoy it while it lasts. Amen? Amen? You know, on Thursday night, I started talking about how God's kingdom is eternal. It's the only thing that's going to last forever. Kingdoms come and kingdoms go. Guess what? America right now is here. One day, America is going to bite the dust. One day, China will bite the dust. And whoever comes after that, I'm just glad I'm not going to be around to see it. That's just the way I feel. The Persians bit the dust. Babylon bit the dust. Greeks, the Romans, name it. Only God's kingdom will endure forever. That is what the Bible teaches. Amen? Because we have only one eternal God. And that's why Paul was able to say in Philippians, I consider everything rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Are you with me? Yeah. Well, you see, the problem is, a lot of times we focus too much on this world. Eternal life is a prepared place for a prepared people. That's what eternity is. You don't stumble upon it by accident. You've got to be looking for it. That's what Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 7. Most of the world is on the wide road. Most people are on the road that leads to destruction by default. You've got to be searching for the narrow road to get on it and then stay on it. Are you with me? It's not so much how you start this thing, but whether you're going to finish. That's always been the issue and will always be the issue. And so I want to continue from there this morning. If you think about it, really, in a matter of speaking, my job as a preacher, as a minister, whatever it is you want to call me, my job is to help people get to heaven. That's all I really care about. Did you hear me? If we're going to do anything that's going to help people get to heaven, you're going to find me there. All the things of this world are all temporary. And that's why I don't show up for a lot of this stuff. Because in the eternal perspective of things, it doesn't mean anything. I try to focus all my energy and my thinking and everything about me, about eternity. Making sure that I get there and I'm trying to drag as many people as I can with me. Are you with me? You want to know what makes me tick? That's what makes me tick. That's what makes me excited. You know, this morning Bill was very kind. He gave me a present. It's not my birthday or anything. He gave me a brand new chronological Bible. I have a lot of Bibles, but I don't have that one. So he called my wife and says, you know what? Does Richard have this? She said, no. So he got it for me. I'm very thankful for it. To me, that's an investment in my eternity. Amen. Oh, I can't wait to start reading that stuff. Amen. And I got a lot of Bibles, believe me. But you see, it's all about eternity. In Luke 18, we're very familiar with this. A young man shows up. If he were alive today, he'll probably have some bling on him. He says, good teacher, in Luke 18. In verse 18, he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? What do I need to do so that I can live with God forever? That's the question he was asking. Very good question. I hope you're asking yourself that question on a daily basis. But you see, a lot of times, just like this rich young man, his concept of eternity was very wrong. Because a lot of times we think it's a question of doing stuff. It's not a question of doing, it's a question of who you are. It's a question of being. You and I could never do enough good to deserve to go to heaven. Salvation is a gift. You can't come to enough church services. You can't read your Bible enough. You can't say enough prayers. You can't give enough money to help the poor to deserve to go to heaven. Are you with me? Now don't get me wrong. Those things are good to do. But we don't do them because we're trying to earn our salvation. We do it because we love God. And it's very interesting because this passage is mentioned 3 times in the Gospels. I believe for emphasis sake. It's in Mark 10, 17, and also in Luke 18, and also in Matthew 19. You don't see a lot of things in the Gospels that way, where God repeats himself and puts the story in there for a reason. See, just in case all you're going to read is Matthew, you got the message. If all you read is Luke, it's in there. Now, heaven help you if all you read is John. Okay, John is a different kind of gospel. As a matter of fact, there are things you will see in John, you will not see in all other three. Are you with me? But you see, it's important that we learn this lesson. This man, this young man was not willing to give up his bling. All right? Now, I don't know what's in your life that you're not willing to part with in this life. Jesus, make me number one. That's all he's asking for. That's all being a Christian is. That's all being a disciple of Jesus is. Where he's the most important thing. Amen? Now look in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. In verse 11. The Bible says very clearly, it says, he, talking about God, has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. You know, you and I are built with a clock on the inside, helping us to understand and realize that, you know what, this is not it. Okay? God designed it that way. God created you and me. It's in our DNA. We are created to long for something. We long for eternity. And the amazing thing is, a lot of times in life, we make the mistake of trying to use money, relationships, career, power, whatever, to fill that void. And you can't do it. If anything, you're going to get frustrated and depressed. Because it's a spiritual thing. Amen? But it is God who set eternity in the hearts of men. See, like I said, we are going to spend eternity somewhere. The question is, who with? Either with the devil and his angels in hell, or with God and his angels in heaven. Okay? You say, well, there's a third category. Well, if you find it, let me know. It's not there. You and I get only 2 choices. And the cool thing is, you and I get to choose. Amen? Like I said, most of the world is already on the default road to hell. And they don't realize it. We have to decide, okay, you know what? I'm going to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Jesus the most important thing. Not just talk, but living the life 24/7. Are you with me? But you see, God set eternity in our hearts. I love this passage. It's in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, be sober. This is another version. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, your enemy, it says in the NIV, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5, 8. That's all the devil is doing. Trying to make sure that you and I do not spend eternity with God. He never stops. If you think about it, he's the ultimate terminator. He can't be bargained with. will not stop. The question is, a lot of us, we're stopping. Some of us are totally oblivious.
Hang on, let me turn this thing back on. When I get excited, things drop. It's okay. I haven't broken any pulpits lately. I have done that too in the past. But you see, Satan is trying to trip us up. Trying to make sure that we don't make it. He doesn't stop. Have you stopped? Do you even know how Satan operates? Before you can even begin to try and resist him. The devil works the same way. He's been working for centuries. He hasn't changed his MO. Are you with me? You know, obviously the Bible teaches very clearly, God did not create hell for us. In Matthew 25, the Bible talks about hell was created for the devil and his angels. That's what God created hell for. But the devil is not stupid. He's compared to a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Just a few weeks ago, I'm sure you saw in the news, there was some guy who had some kind of ranch, and he had all these wild animals there. Bears and lions and leopards and stuff like that. So I think people are crazy. First of all, I'm shocked that you would even be allowed to do that. You're going to be raising a lion, cub, next door? You're not doing that next to my house. I'm sorry. I will go buy me a gun and I will shoot that thing. Come on, man. And now, I don't know what happened to the guy. The guy snapped and he let out all the animals. The police had to go out and shoot these things down. I mean, can you imagine you're just driving down Highway 20 and all of a sudden it's like, what was that? I mean, these things are vicious animals. They are not pets. I'm sorry. Oh, it's just a nice pet. Fine. Go do it on another island. Not next door to me. But the cops had to get out there and they killed all of these animals. People were like, oh, what? You could have just put them to sleep. It was getting dark. These guys didn't have, what do you call those things? The tranquilizers on them? In the arsenal? They have to get out there and take care of this stuff very quickly. Why? Because they're dangerous animals. Satan is dangerous. He's out to kill you. He's out to make sure that you don't spend an eternity with God. He's not to be played with. That's why you and I need to get into our Bibles on a daily basis. That's why we need to stay on our knees. We need to stay close to other Christians that are doing well spiritually. Because Satan will have you alive. You know, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked the ultimate question. Again, you will see it in Mark 8 and also in Luke 9 for emphasis. And Jesus is talking and he simply asked the question, what good is it? If you gain the whole world and you forfeit your soul. He's trying to get us to think about our eternity. What good is it? If you're the richest man or woman or couple in Gwinnett and you lose and you forfeit your soul. One day you are going to be buried in some cemetery or put in some crypt. Or cremated, if that's your wish. And nobody's going to care. Life would go on. What good is it if you and I lose our souls? You know, in Jonah chapter 2, verse 8, you can write this down. It simply says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. I'll be the first one to tell you, a lot of people in this world are clinging to worthless idols. In the form of a job, in the form of money, in the form of a relationship, in the form of something. When you cling to that, you forfeit the grace. You forfeit the eternity that could be yours. The Greek word for forfeit is zemio. Z-E-M-I-O-O. It means to suffer loss. It means to lose what is of greatest value. You can't have this world and have eternity with God together. You gotta give up this world, Jesus says. And then you will have an awesome life on this earth, and then you get to keep it for eternity. Are you listening to me? That's why I'm a Christian. That's why I'm going to die a Christian. I've been at this stuff now for 25 and a half years. I'm not about to go anywhere. Nobody can turn me around. When I said Jesus is Lord, hey, I didn't know any of you, but I didn't know any of you guys. Okay? Not one soul in here did I know. When I made that declaration, Jesus is Lord. Guess what? There is nothing you can do or say or not do that's going to turn me to cause me to turn my back on living God. Because it's never been about you. Hello. Am I talking to anybody in here? Are you kidding me? You've never had that license. I'm not going to give it to you. I never will. And you shouldn't give that license to anybody else either. Amen? This is your eternity we're talking about. Because you don't get a chance to come back on this life and do it over. Some people love to play golf. You know, I don't. They say, oh, it's very relaxing. No, it's not. I find it very stressful. I take my pose. I finally get the grip right. I swing. I hit the thing. And it goes right when I want it to go straight. And you tell me that is relaxing? You say, oh, the joy is in going after that thing. I'm playing against the course. Like, please. When I go read a book, or I go sleep, or take a nap, that's what relaxation is. In the hot sun, people say, oh, I'm by myself. I can think. God bless you. If that's what does it for you, it doesn't do it for me. But you see, the point is, whatever it is you need to do to make sure that one day you get a chance to see and stand before the face of God, and he goes and looks at you and says, well done, good and faithful servant. That's all you want to hear. Amen, church? That's what's the most important thing. Let's not forfeit our eternity. I was reading this week, June 29th, I think it was the Powerball. The jackpot was $77 million. It still hasn't been claimed yet. It was bought by somebody along I-20 at a truck stop. Guess what? In 2 months, they're going to forfeit those winnings. Because you have a certain period of time to claim the prize. In 2 months, whoever that person is going to forfeit that ticket. $77 million. That's a lot of money. There are a lot of poor people we can help with that money. You can do some damage with that kind of money. For good or for bad. But I bring that up to say, you know what? Somebody has that ticket right now, and they don't realize they're sitting on $77 million. It could also be that the person has since passed on, and their family don't, you know, oh yeah, he always buys lottery tickets. They just take him, they just shred him. You don't know. But nobody has claimed that thing yet. But you see, it's important that we do not forfeit our eternity. Amen? God wants us to focus on our eternity. That's all the Bible is all about. That's all it's trying to communicate to us on a daily basis. Think about your eternity. Think about me. Don't get sidetracked by the things of this world. In a lot of ways, you know what? This is what helps me, honestly, deal with sickness and illness, and especially chronic diseases that people go through. You know, sometimes, you know, people are really sick, and we're praying for them, for God to heal them. And that's good. We need to be doing that. I do that too. But if you think about it, you know, when God doesn't answer that prayer, all God is saying, no. This man or this woman has suffered long enough. I want them to come be with me. That's the way I see this. And so, yes, I pray for people who are sick and ask God to give them more life on this earth. But if God says no, I'm very happy that they've gone on. Because now they're no longer in pain. I'm talking of Christians now. Are you with me? I mean, think about it. And I have this written down. I told you on Thursday I've written my will. I have something also called a living will. In other words, if for some reason I'm in some kind of car accident and I'm not conscious and I'm being kept alive by life support, I don't want that. I've written it down. Pull the plug. Please, don't keep me in some hospital bed just breathing on some machine. I want to go to my eternity. This earth has got nothing I desire. Especially not in that state. Are you with me? I'm not afraid of that. It's like, please, pull the plug. I've written it down. Because this is not it for me. It never was. Are you listening to me? And that's why on a daily basis, church, we got to be asking ourselves, you know, whatever it is we do, whatever it is we've gotten ourselves involved with, what did I accomplish today that has eternal value? You got to be making deposits into that heavenly bank, so to speak. What did you do this week that has eternal value? Amen? That's the question we got to be asking ourselves on a daily basis. I want to show you something. See, it's going to be so sad to one day where we forfeit our eternity because of something in this life. Like I said, for some, the job is more important than God. For some, it's their boyfriend or their girlfriend or some guy that's chasing them. And we think, oh yeah, this is all cool. Oh, he loves me. No, he doesn't love you. If he loves you, he will keep his hands off of you. You will look at him and say, you know what? If you touch me again, if I was not a Christian, I would smack you. Get your hands off of me. Let me tell you something. The devil is trying to take you out. And we got to really understand what's going on here. You see, we don't have time to get our priorities in order. We don't. Why? Because in a lot of ways, the clock on all of us is ticking. We are living on borrowed time. You could die tonight. I could die this afternoon. But I can tell you again, I'm not boasting. If I drop dead today, I know exactly where I'm going. Not because of anything I have done, but because, you know what? I know what I did. June 1st of 1986. Deciding to make Jesus Lord. Repenting of my sins and getting baptized for the forgiveness of my sins. And I've been living that life ever since. That is the confidence I can go to bed with every day. Are you with me? You see, it's all about eternity. Because the clock is ticking. You can't afford to wait. God has got to be the priority. See, one day Jesus is coming back. And the Bible describes it that, you know what, he's going to come like a thief in the night. Again, you'll find it in Matthew 24, 36, Mark 13, 32, and Luke 12, 35. In three of the four Gospels, just in case you miss it. And it's very interesting to me, all three instances, he's talking to his disciples. He says, be watchful. You better not fall asleep. Because I'm going to come one day like a thief in the night. He's talking to us. He's not even talking to people who are not Christians. He's telling us to keep watch. Because our Lord is going to come back on a day when we do not expect him. Amen? That's what it's all about. But are you watching? Are you thinking about your eternity? Is that what's the most important thing to you? You know, I saw this illustration the other day. I thought it was very effective and so true. Imagine eternity is this white rope that I'm holding. Imagine that this rope runs around the building, around the world. It just goes on forever. It just goes on and on. This is eternity, folks. Okay? This is it. This white rope that I'm holding. It runs around the earth. It just keeps going. It just keeps going. It never ends. This is eternity. But sadly, many of us, this part of it, that I've painted red deliberately, this is our life on this earth. And this is all you think about. How foolish. How dumb. When this is all we think about. And you forget this. Those who chase after worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Are you ready for your eternity? This is not a game, folks. Some of us this morning, we know we are not right before God. What are you waiting for? How many more lessons do you have to learn? God is not going to tell you to make him Lord in one chapter and change his mind in the other one. God is not going to tell you to repent of sin in one chapter and tell you to not do that four chapters later. Amen, church?
Amen.
I mean, if you think about it, I mean, whatever job you have now, whatever it is you're chasing right now, is just a little speck on this spectrum. That's all it is. Hopefully this gives you perspective of what's really important. I was going to bring you scissors and I forgot. It's like cutting off this red part and say, what good is it if you gain this and yes, you forfeit this? It's like you want to cut that thing off, take it and say, bye. That's what becoming a Christian is. Don't you ever forget it. The question is though, are you ready for your eternity? I pray you get ready because you and I get only one chance at this thing. If you mess it up, you're not going to be able to say, Richard didn't talk about this. I talked about this till I was blue in the face. And I hope you will have an ear and you will hear what the Spirit is saying to you this morning. God bless you all.
Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this time of worship this morning. God, thank you for the singing. Thank you for the messages we've heard. Lord, I pray that we focus our hearts and minds on things above. God, throughout our week, I pray that we focus on what's really important. God, when we're at work or we're at school, God, that we remember that. God, thank you again for Mr. Richard, Lord, and his lesson that he's been giving us this past week. God, thank you for the new church building we have that we get to worship in. God, I'm so grateful, Lord. Lord, I love you so much. In your son's name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.